Welcome to the Encourage Her Community Podcast. I'm Joe, your co-host here at Encourage Her. Welcome to the community. We are women who choose to encourage. In a world full of critics, we need more encouragers. Let's get some encouragement today. Happy Monday. Good morning, encouragers. Welcome back to the Encourage Her Holy Week series. We find ourselves today on Holy Saturday, often called the Silence of Saturday or Silent Saturday. We know that there is no scripture recorded for this day, but I wanted to come on and read a devotional I had read by Margaret Feinberg. And I'll put the link in the show notes. It's called Holy Week, The Silence of Saturday. Holy Week begins with Palm Sunday and culminates in the greatest celebration of all, Easter Sunday. Many celebrate Maundy Thursday by taking part in a cedar meal. Some churches offer special Thursday services, which include feet washing, representing Jesus' last night and reckless act of love and humility with his disciples. Good Friday is often remembered and celebrated in experiential services where participants feel, taste, touch, and smell the events of the crucifixion. But that's not the emotion the disciples and the followers of Jesus expressed on the day after their leader, teacher, and friend was executed. Only four verses in the whole Bible give us a picture of what happened on Saturday. In Matthew 27, verses 62 through 66, we read that the religious leaders of the time went to Pilate on the Sabbath, which would be Saturday, to ensure that Jesus' tomb had extra guard and protection. Ironically, the same people who crucified Jesus are breaking the Sabbath by traveling and working on that day. Those who condemned him for doing healing on the Sabbath earlier are now breaking the Sabbath themselves to do everything they can to be sure that his body remains in the tomb and isn't stolen by the disciples. Jesus is still dead. He's still in the grave. They are probably terrified that they are next, that the mere association with Jesus will lead to their crucifixion. They're grieving the loss of a friend and a teacher. They're humiliated. They really believed that he was the Messiah, the Savior of the world, and doubt might have crept in. We get a little peek into how the disciples were feeling before the realization of the resurrection in Luke 24, verses 19 through 21. "What things," he asked, "about Jesus of Nazareth?" they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place." A disciple named Cleopas and another disciple are walking on a road out of Jerusalem on Sunday. They don't recognize a man who begins to walk next to them, who doesn't know what has just happened. So he sums up the last few days for this man in this verse, 19 through 21, about Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. It's interesting to note that these disciples are on their way home, leaving the city the first chance they get once the travel restrictions are lifted after the Sabbath. The disciples are collapsing because of confusion, grief, and disappointment in what happened on the dark day that was Good Friday. The disciples must have forgotten about the conversation Jesus had with them just a couple of days earlier. When talking to his disciples on Thursday, Jesus takes time to warn them about the grief, the disappointment, the doubt, and silence that they would encounter during the days to come. In John 16, verses 20 and 22, it records Jesus saying, "I tell you the truth, you will weep and mourn while the whole world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because of her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is brought born into the world. So with you, now is your time to grieve. But I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy." Jesus is talking about his death, about the darkest day the disciples will ever experience. He knows they will meet and be met with silence. But he's asking them to wait, to hold on to the hope he offers them, the hope that lies beyond the pain and the grief and the doubt. I'm strangely comforted by the story of the disciples on that Saturday. We're not alone in not feeling fully understanding God's silence. The disciples had lost hope completely. They were confused and shocked by the silence of that Saturday. Their doubt may have caused them to abandon the cause completely and maybe stop believing in what Jesus had taught. But despite the silence, Jesus' promises that joy is coming. In our times of pain and grief and misunderstanding and even confusion, in our moments where we are left wallowing in the silence of God and unanswered prayers, when we are stuck in our Saturdays, the days following our darkest moments, we can hold on to this promised one that Jesus gave his disciples some 2,000 years ago. Joy is coming. A joy that no one can take away. I'm excited to be able to answer the refrain tomorrow. He is risen. He is risen indeed.
Ladies, I am so honored that you chose to spend some time with me this morning. I hope and pray that the Word of God encouraged you and that you feel inspired to now get out into the world and be a woman who chooses to encourage. Remember, Encourage Her is a God-given, purpose-driven ministry. This podcast is for the taking. It's free for the sharing. Please share it with her. Also, remember to subscribe, like, and follow us on Instagram at Encourage Her Wellness for your daily, quick encouragements throughout the week. From now till then, stay encouraged and choose to encourage her. I'll see you next Monday. Love to you all.